And we are live on the internet. Good day, good evening, hello. Welcome to your Thursday evening chat with myself, Terrence Mentor, and my oh-so-handsome colleague and co-host, Sean Lutz, right over there on my left. Welcome to Have You Asked Your Dad. We have not been around for the last few weeks for a lot of reasons. I was in Kenya, then Shauna was sick. Then I was away on holiday, then Shauna was sick again, then I had something else to do with work, and then I think Shauna was sick for a third, or at least one of the members of Sean's family was sick, which made it almost impossible for us to do a live stream. And the reality is, we want to make sure that we don't burn out young Sean. You know, we want to make sure that he's healthy and doing well, both physically and mentally, and so we were like, it's not worth your mental health to stress you out and stress out your throat for the next couple of weeks. So we missed you guys. That's my big point. We missed you. And we're very excited to be having another live chat. Hi, Sean. Are you well? Are you well enough to have this conversation today?
I'm well enough. I am going to think myself... I'm going to think myself into good health, shall we say that. You look sprightly. You really do look like you've just come off of a school holiday.
I have. We were in Swellendam last week, and that was really good. It was, you know, like fresh mountain water. I literally drank from a waterfall, and then I was paranoid for 2 days that I was going to get some sort of... river worm in my digestive tract, which didn't happen, but it was a good holiday. I'm excited to get into this episode because this is actually something that I've been thinking about for the last few weeks. Actually, it was a question that kind of popped into my head 3 weeks ago, and I've been talking to a lot of people about it. So this week, and for the next, who knows how long this live stream lasts, we're going to be talking about the things we would change if we could go back and start over again. So, like, here's the question. There's a glitch in the matrix. You wake up and it's the day before you become a parent for the first time. Okay. You recognize the room, you recognize the feeling, you know exactly what day it is, but you have all of your memories from the last however many years you were a parent. So you're now flashing back like Marty McFly back in time, but you have all of your memories and all of the skills and all of your knowledge of being a parent for however long you were a parent. In my case, it's been 9 years. In your case, 7.5 years.
Seven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the question. What would you do differently knowing what you now know? Having experienced what you've experienced, doing the good things well and doing the bad things not so well, how would you change? Maybe just to get the ball rolling and to get our brains into some sort of gear, I asked the good people of Instagram, not the people who work there, the people who follow me on Instagram, about what they thought they would change. And a lot of the answers were about stress.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. So people saying things like panic less, stress less, the big things of today are soon forgotten. I'm just looking at my notes. Not spend so much money on unnecessary things. So like stressing out about things that seem very important at the time, but aren't very important. I'm not sure if there's anything that you can relate to considering your story, Sean.
Oh, for sure. A little bit of housekeeping, shall I? Yes. Since Bjorn Alexander has joined the live stream on Instagram, sup, Bjorn. Good to have you here. And second thing for housekeeping, I am still coughing, so I apologize. I have a cough button. I might just not be able to reach for it.
Time. So that's not a button that makes
here
you.
Here and I'll try.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No. It's a button that sort of, yeah, the cough button is supposed to be that button that you press and then it mutes you for a split second. So I'm going to try it real quick now and see if I've got the right button. Am I muted now? And how about now? Did that work?
You were softer. Not quite muted.
Soft, but yes. Not muted.
Yes.
Okay. All right. It'll squash the cough sound anyway, if it arises. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's cool because we're not getting coughing in our ear, but we are aware that the cough has happened. So
okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, as you said earlier, you know, I managed to dodge the illness right in the beginning, and somehow it came back. It's have this sort of like boomerang effect. And I'm just concerned now because the boomerang effect, it caught me for the first time, but then it caught my wife and my daughter for a second time. So I'm waiting for it to come back and catch me again. And because this cough is just, it's still there, I'm worried it's going to develop into something else. Nonetheless, you referenced Marty McFly, and the first thing that went to my mind was, can you imagine being able to parent in the 80s with all the knowledge we have now from the 2000s? How do we refer to them? The 2020s?
The 2010s?
The 2000s. Yeah.
The millennium.
The millennium. And if we were to go all the way back there and go, but why can't I just send a WhatsApp to get the delivery from Dis-Chem? This is the 80s. Like, come on, guys, speed up your technology. That would be infuriating.
That would be so frustrating if I didn't have the ability to, like, get groceries delivered to me. Or even to, like, get information about, hey, my child looks this color. Is that normal? Or, like, my kid hasn't gone to the toilet for 4 days. Is that normal for a child of this age? I think we've all... Yeah. Google that.
Dr. Google or WebMD. We avoid WebMD because more likely WebMD is going to tell you that you're already dead and then give you the symptoms. So I avoid that, but Google has been a friend. Google Images has been less of a friend and more of an off-putting stepbrother that's there just to shove things in your face that you don't want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sometimes the wrong Google image search can take you down a very dark road.
Yes. Yeah. Rhett Armstrong, welcome to the room. It's good to have you here, sir. Welcome back.
And actually, Rhett was one of those people who responded to say, I would panic less. That's
a good point.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when I started reflecting on this all those hours ago that you messaged me and said, this is what we're talking about today, at all of those hours got crunched down to from 7:30 this evening until 8. And it's time to reflect.
You're telling me as a working dad, you don't have hours to think about this one little tiny podcast that you do on the side?
Shocked
and appalled.
Yeah, you should be. Don't take it as offense, please. I don't mean for you to take offense. But now when I do reflect on that, I would definitely agree with Rhett and any others that said panic less. There was definitely a lot, especially in those early years. Like you said, I now have a 7-year-old. I'm not sure about the last 3 or 4 years if there's something there. But if I go all the way back to the beginning, there was far too much reading of nonsense and books that we're supposed to be adhering to or advice that is being dispensed that at the time you just don't have A, the bandwidth because you're exhausted, but B, the iteration, right? You haven't had a chance to practice being a parent for long enough. And the beauty of hindsight now is that information overload caused for us to panic and be anxious and be overly concerned. I'd like to not have that feeling, right? So that's the first thing. Probably wouldn't be there. And when I mulled over your question, I kept thinking about, okay, so if I were to have a second child now, that's kind of where I would be, right? Because I'd have 7 years worth of knowledge. So it'd kind of be like having, you know, if you have 3 kids, the third one gets the best of it because of but gets the parent that's less stressed, that's less anxious, that's less overwhelmed by the new parent things. Not to say at all that a parent of 3 children is less stressed than a parent of 1, because that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think the stresses are different, but And I think that's true, right? I think it's a case of we're not saying that parenting isn't a stressful thing, but just choose the right things to be stressed about.
Mm. And you don't know what you don't know because you haven't had a chance to iterate being a parent for long enough yet to know that there are things that you needn't stress about. I'm pretty sure Julie Mentor, who has also just stepped into the building, as DJ Ready D likes to say, is in the building, would agree, you know, like don't stress the small things. I think maybe all parents would want to, if you get a do-over, you'd worry less about those little things. seemingly little things, yeah,
and,
right?
And I wonder what that's about, because I don't think I know anyone who would ever say the exact opposite. Like, oh, I wish I stressed out more as a parent. Like, I wish I was more panicky as a parent, especially in those early years. Everyone I know has said, yeah, I wish I could. I wish I just enjoyed those early years more. I wish I could just like lean into it and like appreciate it for what it was, as opposed to like panicking every moment that I'm doing something wrong that's going to have long-term consequences. You know, it's not even just about, am I cutting my children's grapes in half so that they don't choke? It's like, am I giving them the right brain food right now so that in 20 years' time, they'll have a fully developed brain to be the lawyer that they might want to be one day?
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I think, can I then maybe move from the stress thing into something that I would have liked to have done more of when my child was small? And that is actually something Ruwenda brought up earlier. Travel. I think Zoe was so small, and Ru's words, not mine, we didn't need to carry around loads of, yes, there are loads of tools and equipment that you feel you need to take with you. But essentially, if Ruwenda's in the car with her boobs, we're good, right? The food's taken care of, just extra clothes. And, you know, we could be in the car a lot more, traveling, hopefully experiencing and doing things and getting out there. And our situation was one where the doctors were like, no, don't leave, don't pass her around, keep her indoors, protect, blah, blah, blah. So there's that extra layer of complexity and in my parenting journey.
Sure.
But maybe one of the things I would have liked to have done more of when my child was really small is go out and live a little bit more and not be so isolated and hermity.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think I would probably say the exact opposite or a version of the exact opposite. We lived in quite a small flat when we first became parents, and we very quickly became parents to two kids. You know, we had two under two in a two-bedroom flat without a garden access. And so every weekend, every free moment was like, how can we get these children out of this place? Okay. We were always trying to get to a place. And I would have, I think I would have maybe I would have delayed being a parent a little bit later to get to a place where I could maybe have a home that could be home. You know,
I understand.
And we're very fortunate now that we have that, where if we spent the whole weekend at our house, we're not dying of cabin fever because it's so cramped.
We have a
really good, comfortable home base now, and I'm really seeing the privilege of that now. And I think I would have liked to have had that, where you just got a little bit more room to breathe and you can enjoy your own home, as opposed to this like desperate need that we had to like to just escape because the kids are driving us crazy and we need to give them room, and like we feel bad for them because we know they need room to run and go and you know, exercise and explore, which they just couldn't do in the, you know, 70 square meters, which is two bedrooms. Julie Mentor, who's very wise, I mean, I know who she married, that was the one big mistake she made in her life, but she would say or just be kind to yourself and accept the stress. So that's a very
there's a lot of awareness. Yeah, that's awareness. Yeah, you know. Personal growth. Danny Painter, what's up? Welcome. It's good to have you here too. Yeah.
So the idea of just, if you're going to be stressed, just accept that this is something that you're going to be stressed about, and work through it and do the things you need to do.
Because maybe with a lot of that advice, and I think Julie's, I'm trying to remember what I was talking about earlier with regards to the books and the things and the overwhelm, right? And understanding that you're not supposed to be able to cope with all of that, because that was kind of the impression I was left with. I'm supposed to assimilate all of this information, plug me into the matrix, take it all on and implement it without second guessing myself. It's a stressful situation. So quite rightly, as Julie says, if you give yourself the permission to understand that you're going to be stressed and be stressed. I was also thinking now about the two of you being in a two bedroom with two kids and not really the space to be able to separate either. If you are feeling stressed, you can't go behind another closed door and not hear them in the other room.
They can see you. They're like, you can't go to the kitchen to get away because they can see you from the lounge. They know you're there. So there was no escape.
And I think it's probably also a time in any parenting journey where they get the kids get to that stage where you have to keep the and they're looking to be entertained. So you do want to be out of the house as often as possible. You're looking for somewhere else to go. Our friends of ours were doing the same all the time. They're like, we're going out every weekend just to try and keep this child active and give him the space to run around. I'm saying I would have liked to gotten in a car, drive to the beach. Zoe's 3 months old. She's going to sleep. Yes. She's not going to do anything.
Good point.
I'd like to go and see something then. Yeah. I'd like to sleep in it. You know, get some sea air, do some of that stuff when she's in an easy transportable package.
That makes sense.
More easily transportable.
Yeah. Like physically less of a human being to move around.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. Another thing that seems to be in the zeitgeist was get a nanny earlier. So one person said get a nanny earlier, but from that, I mean, like, if you can pay for support, like pay for help.
Can I say, I know some people that listen to this podcast will know some of our journey with the special needs child, but just fast forward very quickly to 6 months. Zoe had a seizure and we spent a long time in hospital, nearly 2 months. And when we came out of hospital, we felt even less equipped because we'd now spent 2 months in hospital where she was plugged into machines that told us when she was breathing. Somebody came and told us that she needs to eat again. They tested her blood all the time. You know, we kind of got used to this. Sometimes I still refer to hospitals as hotels. It's a slip of the tongue. I don't mean it like that, but you get accustomed to there being someone that takes care of all of the stuff all the time. And then when we came home, you know, I was like, well, we have to have a nurse, surely. I can't afford a nurse, but I need a nurse to do all the things that this child needs, from injection, like in medication and blood tests and blah, 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 blah. And we delayed for a long time getting a night nurse so that we could sleep. And that's essentially what it came down to. Just 3 nights, spaced out over 3 weeks, and it made such a big difference to the rest of what we could actually handle. So I agree with that.
Yeah.
Do that sooner rather than waiting until, you know, you're frizzled and frazzled.
Until you're completely desperate for it. I wonder if there is a, and maybe, I think maybe moms have this more than dads, but this idea that parents have to, that you parent solo, that, you know, you parent in a vacuum and you have to be able to do everything yourself, or at least just the two of you have to manage work and manage a household and manage all the stuff that comes with life, and you also have to care for this child completely by yourself. And in a world where the village doesn't really exist in a real fundamental way, like you don't have neighbors and aunties and uncles and a place, you know, an auntie coming around to look after your child, you have to pay for support. You have to pay for that help. I don't have any problem with that. It's, and in my experience, when we did get a nanny, that actually helped us be better parents, because it meant that when we did have one-on-one time with the child, it wasn't the operational part of being a parent, if you know what I'm saying. It wasn't needing to cook and feed and rush around and just get things done. It was really good, intense relationship building time. Because you're not stressed out about all the millions of other things you got to do, or in your case, completely frazzled and sleep deprived. You can't be at your best at that level.
What do you mean? Look at me.
Parenting hasn't aged us at all, Sean. Yeah,
no, not
in the least.
Not at all.
Goodness. Yes. So,
what else would you do differently if you got to? How did you phrase it again? Kind of like Marty McFly, who gets to go back in time, all of this knowledge.
You get to start over with everything you currently know. What else would you do? I think one of the big things that jumped out of me, and this is something that has come out of therapy actually, was that. My family's happiness is not totally dependent on me being at my best all the time. So I kind of felt like my job as dad was to hold everything together and to keep myself together and not give myself a break at all, so that everyone else could be happy. And that if I cared for myself in any way, shape or form, then that was incredibly selfish. And that was a problem that people would frown upon. But actually, it's okay to take like self-care time even as a parent if you're lucky enough in which like I was to have a partner who was incredibly like who took on more than her fair share of the family care stuff. And if you have family support like Terrence from 7, 8, 9 years ago, it's okay to go out with your friends for one night in a month or in a every 3 months. It's okay to take up one hobby that gives you a little bit of that when you come back from it, you're in a better mood, you're more energetic, you're a better person because you've able to like process all of your stuff. At the same time, you also have to make sure that you give a lot of space over to your partner so that they can also have that same the same ability to do that. So I think I'd be a lot more, I would prioritize that not over everything else, but I would prioritize that slightly higher. Then completely ignore it altogether, especially for the first few years. And also, I mean, that means that like, if you're getting frustrated, because sometimes parenting can be frustrating. Come on, kids are annoying. Let's just be honest, especially small kids. If and this is kind of along what Julie was saying about being kind to yourself and accepting the stress. It's okay to admit that you're annoyed. Telling your partner, like, I actually can't deal with this right now. I'm on the verge of freaking out. It's fine to say that and to remove yourself from the situation. It doesn't make you a bad dad if you're saying, I want to throw this kid through the window right now. I know I shouldn't, so I'm going to leave the room for a bit. That's actually a good thing. That shows good mental health.
It's important to finish the sentence the way that you did. Yeah, I'm not going to.
Yes, I know it's bad. I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to make sure I don't want to feel like this anymore. So I'm going to go take a breath and come back. Just those, you know, those big and small ways to look after your own mental health. It's the whole aircraft oxygen bag falling from the ceiling analogy.
Yes, 100%. I had a conversation with a relationship coach just this week, and she mentioned something in that that's kind of stuck with me in that, and maybe this is something that I would have done differently prior to having kids, just as I have kids. But along the lines of what you're saying, her line was that she feels that the best relationship therapy that you can possibly do is to do personal development, like personal growth development, and understanding yourself as well as you possibly can, because you're going to understand what your triggers are. You're going to understand the way you are going to interact in certain situations. You're going to understand what your needs are, which means when you are in a relationship, and now we're adding a third person to this relationship, you're going to be able to navigate those relationships that much better. And I definitely didn't need any of that back then. I am fascinated now with neuroscience and personal development and, mental health things. So I wasn't in that space back then, but it would have been a nice thing to maybe have gone through so that when I was entering that new phase with a third person in the relationship, being able to understand those dynamics a little bit better. Because I don't know about, okay, I know your situation was also slightly different in the sense that, there was Liam and then there was Eli. There was Liam that was, as much part of you as Julie. You were both parenting as intensely as you were. But for me, that experience you had with Eli with the second child was that Zoe was very much attached to Rowenda. I felt, sort of superfluous. I was just there as a support structure. But if I had done some personal work, maybe, and some deeper diving and some better self-awareness projects, I would have understood where I sat in that relationship, and I wasn't feeling neglected, I think is maybe some a feeling that many dads may tend to feel. They start to feel like a spare wheel. You start to feel like you're just the one that's there to provide either the cash or the muscle or the fetch and carry, and there's a phase there that you need to work through. So, yeah, long way of saying maybe some personal growth awareness work
I
would
100%
be,
agree. Yeah,
yeah.
one of the comments that I got was actually go to therapy from pregnancy. Obviously, that's a mom, but I think when your partner's pregnant, I think that's a good time to if you haven't been to therapy before, and
Yeah.
you're about to become a dad, 100% agree. Get your SHIT because I want to keep clean here. Get your nonsense like sorted out because you can't again. It's like sleep. You can't be at your best without sleep, and I think you can't be your best without it doesn't have to be therapy, like sitting on a couch with a man with a gray mustache scribbling out your words. Have we dropped again? No, it's just my phone.
The Casual Dork Podcast is in the room as well. Hey, hello.
Okay, hey there. CDP.
Well done.
Nice. I think it's important to do that work on yourself. It's good for you, and it's just going to make you a better partner and a better dad, especially for those like harder parts. I did it the wrong way. I pretended like I was totally fine. And then because this is the thing. Parenting, especially those early years, can be so hectic that whatever facade you put up that you're okay will very quickly be pulled down, because kids pull everything down and the real version of you gets like exposed. And
sure.
I'd rather not have that be exposed by my kid. I'd rather have that be exposed before the kid arrives, me deal with whatever that reality is. And when the kid arrives, I'm whatever more whole version of myself I could be. So I think that's a huge one. I didn't even really consider that, like, really properly. And that's not easy work, right? That's often quite uncomfortable.
And I think that's quite also why we don't go there. We don't necessarily think we need to. It's more important for us to get the monitor and the pram and the cot and the paint the room and do all of those things. And that's what dads are invariably, you know, kind of inclined to jump in with, because it's something I can physically do. I can't grow the human, but I can paint a room. I can go furniture shopping. I can do some research, you know. But we don't know that we need to do some of that work, especially if we haven't necessarily realized that our relationships, or we don't operate well in a relationship, because we're fine.
Yeah, everything's okay. It's fine. It's good.
Fine.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I haven't seen your friend in 3 years. How's it going? No, good. You know, it's fine. It's fine. That's fine. It is strange how many of our conversations between you and I end up with, we need to go to therapy.
Yeah.
But that is honestly one of the, I mean, I, as part of the work I do with Afro Daddy, I often get invited onto panels and to other podcasts. Mm. Shh, don't tell anyone. I often get asked, what is like the one piece advice you'd give to dads, to new dads? And the one thing I say all the time is, go to therapy. And everyone laughs like, ha ha ha. I'm like, no, seriously, go get mental health support. And again, like, I like the way you phrase it. It's not like going to a psychologist. It's personal growth stuff in whatever form that looks like for you. So definitely spend a lot of time doing that. Just thinking about something else that someone said, I would spend more time playing with my boys. That's what someone else said on Instagram. I wonder if it's one of those things where we aren't stressing about the right thing at the right time. Like, we're not stressed enough about playing with our kids because we're stressing about all the other things that they don't think about. They don't remember. They're not going to think about, you know, whether or not they had the right fish fingers or whatever. They're going to remember the time that dad played in the garden with them or whatever.
But at the time, it's a big deal if you don't deliver the fish fingers the way they like them, you see. And that's the thing we're stressed about. Yeah. Have you cut the crusts off the sandwich? Is it the tomato sauce from the red jar or the, you know, that stuff?
Blue cup,
and that's a stress
green
for
plate,
us.
You know, all these, these kinds. And not just that, but like, do we have food in the fridge? Is the nappies in the cupboard? Am I going to keep my job? What's going on with the... There are these... I think sometimes it might come across with the way I talk about these things that, like, I don't think that those stresses are legitimate. But those are legitimate, like, the things that we're stressing about, all those other things are legitimate stresses. They're...
100%.
You know, if you're not stressed about money, then I don't understand... Who in the world isn't stressed about money? But making sure that you have spent some time playing with your kids, that's the thing that's going to make the biggest impact to them later on.
Yeah. I was reminded again this week, Theron, I could go into long stories, but let's not go there. But essentially, emotional intelligence. Mm. And it's a line I've heard before, and it's a line I kind of remind myself of from time to time. Listen to me with the lines today. And this one revolves around the fact that the only people that are going to remember whether you worked over the weekend and checked your emails all the time is not your boss. It's going to be your kids and your family because you weren't present. And I guess that's comes down to exactly the same things. We're all stressing about a multitude of things, but are the stress, are we focusing on the right thing at the right time? Oh, goodness sake. Now I'm stressed about whether I'm focusing on the right thing at the right time. There's always something, isn't there?
There's always layers. Yeah. And I guess it's the idea of knowing what's urgent and what's important. That's just something like that. I've always struggled with because something's, we're not saying that the urgent things don't have to be dealt with. Of course they do, but don't let the urgent things completely blind you from the important things. And I've always tried to do that. Well, not always. I occasionally try to do that. And when I do, I find that I'm happier and the people around me are happy as well. Another thing that along the lines of support and mental health is someone said that they would explain to their friends what kind of support they need. So I think this is the case where maybe you're in a community or a bunch of friends or family that maybe you're the first one that's had a kid. And I think often people don't know how to help parents in our modern times.
Yeah.
And I, when I saw that, I actually thought about you quite a lot and your story of your introduction to parenting being as hectic as it was.
What a rollercoaster ride, completely.
Yeah. And the fact that you did need special kinds of support in ways that we, like most of us, wouldn't have known. But thinking like, I would have struggled to have told people exactly what support I needed, because that feels like asking for help. And the one thing a man doesn't do is ask for help.
No, man, Terrence. I think that's a really valid point. And I keep looking up to the sky thinking that that's where the rest of my ideas are going to come from. But essentially, the point here was that if I were to be a parent for the very first time with all the knowledge that I have gained, I think it's a really nice standpoint to then, from that lens, to be able to say to my friends, okay, here are the things that I'm going to need, because I already know what I'm going to need,
that
right?
That's helpful, yes.
That is going to be really helpful. And you've probably developed a way of being able to converse that as well. I can, with 100%, 20,000 million quadrillion percents, tell you I had no idea what I needed. And it's so difficult in the first place to ask for help, you know, following on what you've said, and not knowing how someone can actually help, that it's really difficult to then, you know, when somebody says, how can I help you? But then, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, used to bug us quite a lot. When somebody says, I'd love to help, how can I help? I actually don't know. I'd have to have capacity to think about how you could help. But you know what? I have washing at home that needs to get done. But I feel I can't ask you to go and do a load of washing. But that's the type of stuff that with all the years of experience, you might go, this is what I need help on. And that would be a really nice way to start a parenting journey. I like that suggestion.
Yeah, that's such a win. Just to be very, very clear. And again, exactly. And when people do come and ask you for help, I wouldn't know how to, you don't want to be a bother. You don't know that we don't have the social skills, I think, to ask for the laundry thing. So, wow, that would be brilliant. But you know what's great about a lot of these suggestions, just I think in closing, since we've gone well for over half an hour already, I think what's great about this, all these suggestions, is that they don't just apply to when you start your parenting journey. And this is the big bait and switch, because all the things we suggested you can start doing right now. Like, no matter how old your kids are, you could, I know it sounds crazy, but even if your kid's 25, you could still play with your kid, in whatever way he or she wants to be played with. Like, it might mean that you go, you know, you play Xbox with them, or you go play around the golf, or whatever, but you can still do that. You can still care for your own mental health needs. You can still, you know, just because you didn't get therapy or the, you know, the mental health growth before you became a parent, maybe it's been 10 years. Your preteen teenage child will benefit from you getting If anyone's going to benefit from you, it'll be your teenage child.
Yes. And goodness, can you imagine being able to sort out your own nonsense just before going into the teenage years and being able to understand how to Oh,
Oh,
yes, go.
what a win. What a win, right? So you can still join us a mom, parent or mom support group. You can still, what are the other things you're saying? You can still panic less and stress about things that should be stressed about, and not stress about the things that shouldn't be stressed about. And you can still ask for help now that you know what help you need. You can still do all those things. And I feel
Wow, look
like,
at you.
and you know what I feel very excited about? There's two things. Firstly, I didn't actually know that this is where the podcast was going to end. I hadn't planned this ending. So I feel like that's come very, very nicely full circle. And the second thing is exactly the fact that like we've come up with a bunch of ways that we've harnessed people's brains and experiences to give good advice to parents, both new parents and experienced parents. And that's exciting for me. So that's, I think today's been a win.
I want to just
Ah.
put this.
There we go.
There you
There
go.
we go.
There you
Wait, let me
go.
get my
Oh,
phone. Let me get my phone. Let me go.
magic.
Okay.
You are so good at this.
I
You should write a blog post or something about this. That was really good.
just made a podcast about it. I can't. How much more do you want from me?
Okay, now let me tell you. You transcribe the podcast, then you put it into ChatGPT, then you got
Yes.
boom.
Use the technology as it is.
I am very appreciative of these conversations, and I am so glad that we have a space to be able to dispense our infinite wisdom, even though we don't know we're being so wise. I mean, look at us.
Apparently, we know more, and we've learned a lot more than we actually knew we did. So that's exciting, and it's and this is just this is the other thing, the idea of looking back and actually realizing how far you've come and how much you've grown over the last like however long you've been a parent. That's also a good thing to do, and I feel like we've done that over this last like half an hour. I think a lot of people who've been part of this conversation previously over the last couple of weeks, I've definitely seen people go, oh yeah, like I have learned a lot. I am better than I was when I first started. I do, I'm wiser and stronger and more adaptable, and I'm knowing when to stress and all these kinds of things, which is great. And hopefully in 10 years' time, we can look back and say the same thing about us now in 2023. So.
100%. Love it. Thank you, Terrence.
Thank you, Shauna. Thank you so much for listening and for watching. If you're on the video stuffs, my name is Terrence Mentor. You can catch me on Afro Daddy. Search for afrodaddyonline.com. Shauna has a gazillion projects going on. Shauna, do you want to tell us like three or two or three of the most important ones?
It's like choosing my favorite child.
You only have one. How hard can that be?
I know, that's why I have to list them all, right? No, I'm just kidding. Just find my name. It's spelled SEAN. I don't know, for some reason my parents went with an Irish spelling, and now my wife thinks that's the only way you spell Sean. So SEAN, and then Lewis is LOOTS. You'll find that there. Otherwise, the big project that I am very proud about at this point in time is Some Assembly Required, which is my other podcast, which Terrence was a guest on, if you didn't know. So if you haven't listened to him speak before, you really should.
But more importantly, a lot of other fantastic guests who are actual experts at what they do. If you want to feel good about yourself, if you want to do that mental growth stuff, the personal growth stuff that we spoke about, Some Assembly Required is the place that you can start that journey if you want to get going on that. It's one of my favorite things to listen to. And that's why we don't do a lot of Happy Hour Dad, because Sean needs to make we the world needs Sean to do Some Assembly Required. That's what we need. And
Piece
please,
by piece, my man. Piece
yeah,
by piece.
there we go. So go listen to him there with all these great guests. Thank you, Sean. We'll chat soon, man.
Thanks, Captain. Ciao.